Oops, I hit the wrong thing. Hope I'm recording. This is just a test. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, and this is just a test to make sure this thing is recording. There's ways I can check. Let me see. Yeah, it looks like it's recording. I looked at the receiver, and it's blinking. It's not blinking, so that means it should be recording. The mic, wireless mic, should have connected. Let me start the story from the beginning, boys and girls. Happy Saturday. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, and I was laying in the bed Saturday morning just thinking about being lazy, just fantasizing about being lazy. Steelers don't play till 1:30 today. For those of you on the East Coast, the Steelers usually play at 10 a.m. That's 4:30 on the East Coast. They usually play at 1:30 on the East Coast. Then again, that's 10:30, 10 o'clock here. So I had some time in the morning. So I'm just laying in there chilling. I woke up in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m., and was just enjoying it. I woke up at 3 a.m., and I think what I'm going to tell myself is that I find myself enjoying being with myself. Just being it with myself. Just sitting there, scrolling Facebook. I was actually watching videos. You know, you scroll through the reels or the pop-up or whatever. I was watching videos, and they was making me laugh. I mean, some of the comedian stuff, I was really enjoying it. It was like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I think I did that for 2 hours, maybe. From like 3 to 6 or something like that. But I did go to bed kind of early for whatever reason. Probably because I'm eating way too much, which is the reason why I'm out here right now. One of them, anyway. Before the game, Mr. Scale told me 209 something today, this morning. And it's to the point that where when I get on the scale in the morning, knowing what it is, I'm so aware of what I eat, my intake, what my previous weight was. I'm just so aware, I can just about guess what the scale is going to tell me. And sure enough, I said it's going to be 209.2, and it was. And I think when I was on my best behavior in the recent days, I had it down to 206 in the morning. But last night, because of my added energy, after work, I got dressed. I didn't get dressed. I was already dressed. After work, I went to Little Caesars and got my deep dish stuffed crust pizza with black olives, mushrooms, and sausage, because my mother told me that pepperoni overwhelms the taste of the pizza, and she was right, so I go with sausage now, and it was so good. And that's the second time this week, I think Thursday, after work, I realized I didn't have any sweets. So I made pot stickers. I made a bunch of pot stickers too, frozen, take them frozen, put it in a pan, kind of sauteed them, whatever you want to call it. I ate a bunch of them. Made them after work. That's the kind of energy I got now. Then after I did that, I think before or after, I can't remember which one, I go to Ralph's and get cookies. I got ginger snaps. I got vanilla wafers. I got a box of Whoppers, a carton of Whoppers. It was like a little carton. It was like $2.70 as opposed to the little $1.25 box I usually get. And I got Red Vines. Officially, I'm a Twizzler guy. And I didn't see any Red Bites. So I got Red Vines because I do remember us having Red Vines at work. And they did send me to a state of euphoria at one time. So I figured I couldn't go wrong with that. So I have vanilla wafers, ginger snaps, Whoppers, and Twizzlers on top of all these pot stickers and roasted chicken I ate. So my appetite has been up. I've been eating. And I think it's because, again, I quit smoking back a mile, so my energy is up. And I need to feel that sensation, that vice or whatever, that my body's looking for that certain kind of stimulation. And I'm replacing it with food. I think that's a known thing. That when people stop smoking, they gain weight. Or that, you know, smoking cigarettes, nicotine even, helps you, you know, keep your weight off, probably because of the stimulation, blah, 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 blah. So that's a true thing for me. So I'm laying in the bed after all of that, you know, weight 209, blah, blah, knowing I'm gonna have to fight it this week, this weekend, because I got 2 days off, knowing I'm gonna need to, you know, stay sensible as I can, try to take it day by day. Basically, I wanted to say, get into next week and try to, you know, wait till I get a good daily regimen going. If I can go 5 days on a work schedule, uninterrupted, I can kind of, you know, handle getting my routine. The longer I'm in my routine, the better. But the holidays are coming up, so the routine is going to be completely disrupted. There's going to be days where I'm going to be able to get my steps in, get 15, 16,000 steps in the routine. There's going to be days where I'm not. And I didn't say that I couldn't get my steps in. It's just that it would lie outside my routine, and the chances of me actually putting forth that extra effort to get steps, especially during the holidays. You know, come on. During the holidays, come on. You know, I got P-Funk shows coming up, this and that. So I'll be busy, but I don't know if I'll be able to maintain the discipline, the calorie, caloric, and physical activity discipline that keeps my weight down. So anyway, I'm laying in the bed Saturday morning, feeling good. I see I got a notification that my packages were being delivered. In the previous podcast, I talked about how I ordered, you know, gadgety devices. I think it was tinkering. I think it was a word. I just thought of the word. I think it started with a Q. Something. What word I was thinking that what I'm doing. You know, what it's like tinkering or, you know, my electronics that I'm doing. You know, constantly doing it and building. I forget the word. I'll think of it. You know, but even though I'm just like tinkering or messing around, I'm building something. I'm going towards something that it will eventually add up. You know, I forget the word. I'll think of it. So I ordered. I was hearing noise on some of my podcasts when I was using the wired mic, when I was using the USB-C connection, the 3.5 millimeter stereo input. I was hearing a hum. And I would hear it as soon as I plugged that cable in. Before I even hooked up the microphone to it, I would hear hum. And I didn't like that. And I got kind of obsessed with it. So I wanted to get rid of it, at least going forward. You know, just the little things like that. Just the little things like that. You know, build over time. Things that I enjoy, might find fun. But it adds to the product. It's definitely researching to the product. You know, just having a better podcast, better sounding podcast. Because I know that hum, when I was hearing it, listening to it, there's some things I just can't take. And if I can't, I just, you know, base everything, well, I think everybody does, but I base everything on how I feel about it for whatever reason. You know, some people might say, yeah, I don't want this to sound like that. Because, see this style, can you see the style behind me? That kind of style housing. I like it for whatever reason. I don't know if you can see it. But one thing too, also with this, the other camera, if I carry the other camera, it's lighter. It's easy to carry. And I wouldn't need this little extension that I got. I wish I could show you. It's like a little extension that sticks into the USB-C of my main phone and has the same jack on the other end of it, just so I can get a little bit of distance between plugging in the wireless mic transmitter, because it won't fit with the case. I wouldn't need that, but I might keep it anyway. But there's a bunch of stuff I might send back to Amazon, and then I might like gather it all up see if it works or not. And I think I made my decision, you know, send it back. It'll make it worth the ride out to Chatsworth or wherever, because I had ordered something else and it didn't work. And I only paid like $13 for it. It's almost like not worth taking it back. It's not worth driving out to Chatsworth to take it back. We're paying $7.99 for shipping. You pay $13 for it, it's like, take the loss. But anyway, it started to build up. And that's kind of fun to do life chores or logistics or manage the administrative stuff like that. So that thing came today, and I'm using it now. And I probably should stop and do a test, but I probably won't. But I should. And it's spicy when I get back, just to make sure it's recording, because I'm doing all this talking, and I'm on a hell of a flow, and I feel good about it. So I'm using it, and we'll see if it's working or not. See how much, you know, noise I get. You can see the wireless mic on me. And it's a cheapie. I could probably get one a little better. And as I said, as I'm tinkering and going through all this stuff, I'm making cheap stuff sound good. So when I actually do go ahead and invest in a good microphone or some quality equipment, it should sound really, really good, because I learned the basics working on cheaper stuff. They say if you can get cheap headphones, if you can get your music to sound good on cheap headphones and cheap speakers, it sounds good on everything. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but, you know, it's a possibility. It's a possibility. And you know what else, too? I messed up. I usually walk down a side street and not down the main street. That's why you're hearing all this noise, all the car traffic. I usually walk down the residential, and I kind of figure out a way how to weave my way back onto the path and not where, you know, where all the traffic is at. But I don't mind being in traffic. I don't mind the energy being around me right now. So, you know, I'm laying in the bed this morning. It's like 9 o'clock, 9:30, whatever. And I get a notification on my phone. Somebody's at the door. It was my packages. I got an alert. You know, your package is one stop away. So I said, okay, that's cool. It's coming in the morning. And it came, and I got a doorbell app went off, but I couldn't let the guy in. So I had to get up and go. I just said, you know, I had to open the window, put up. I didn't have no clothes on. I had my drawers on. So I went through the door in my drawers. I was carrying my sweatband. I mean, my, you know, house pants, house pajama bottoms or whatever. And I just leaned out the window and said, yeah, this dude be there, I'll come get it. You know, because I was wondering why the door didn't open. Knoxville that late. I just leave it there, I come get it. So I got dressed, you know, I threw some Beatles pants on. And before I did, just to make the story longer, I used some slide-ons that I got. Because I didn't really understand the idea of slide-ons. I just thought all the kids was wearing slide-ons because they look cool. And they had the Nike across, you know, on the front, the little strap that holds it on your feet, you know, you just start feeding. I guess they call them slides or whatever. I don't know. I think my daughter called them that. But you want to have a pair of shoes or something, you can just throw your feet in without thinking and go outside and boom, boom, boom. Instead of having to, you know, put some shoes on or to even eat. And I kind of don't want to walk outside in my bedroom slippers just to be obsessive like that. And so I had these slides. I bought them. It was like $10. I said, let me try these things out. So I bought them. And they're okay. They're cheap. $10. I mean, you know, they were at Target. They were like $10. I said, all right, I'll try them. They're not comfortable, but I can see how some comfortable were. You know, you just want to slide them on your feet and go. And they kind of, I don't really use them, but, you know, that's the whole idea. So I threw those on when I got the package. And when I was doing it, it was so nice out. When I was doing it, I guess this is the whole point of me cutting this on, that kind of. It was so nice out that I was like, damn. Let me get up and get out in this. You can see now it's all sunny. I'm overdressed, which I'm starting to realize is the idea of a warm-up suit, warm-up jacket, warm-up clothes. Because when I start off walking, I like to be overly dressed, you know, with too much clothes on until I warm up and take stuff off. That's a thing. So I was like, oh, that's what they mean by warm-up jacket. I get it. So that in the morning, I just go ahead, know that I'm, you know, worrying too much, and don't worry about it, and just keep going. So now I'm kind of overdressed, and the sun is getting me, but I don't mind sweating, never did, because I found out that sweating was a big part of my weight loss in the morning to get to that low number that I love so much. I love that low number in the morning. So I try to work out and get my walk in before I even eat or drink anything, so I get that lowest number possible, even though I know it's an anomaly weight. But anyway, so it's so nice out here. I was like, oh, shoot. It motivated me to get up and get out. And part of that is because I quit the Black & Miles. Could be because I quit the aspartame, even though I did get kind of a nasal pain and headache. The other day, and when I do that, I put it in my calendar, and then so I can search headache, and it'll show me all the dates that I had it, and what I did to, you know, take it for the headache, you know, mild, 2 Tylenol, Claritin, blah, 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 say what I, you know, took and did, and I had one of those. I hadn't had any in a while, because I thought it was because I quit smoking this or smoking that, but, you know, then I thought it was the aspartame, maybe, but it was, and then, but I'm starting to realize that the square, when I wake up in the morning and it hits, square and take the Tylenol. Don't even, you know, try to, you know, work it out or let it settle. Just take the Tylenol in the morning. Knock it off. Let that Tylenol start working. And don't worry about it. And don't do ibuprofen. Doctor said, you know, easy on the ibuprofen. So you're not backed off of that. So that's why I'm out here now. It's just so beautiful. And I'm using the wireless mic. So that was a fun thing to do, test. To come out here and make this video with the wireless mic. See how it sounds. See how it's working out. I love doing that. I forget what the word was. I couldn't start with a Q, I think. I think it'll start with a Q. The stuff I was doing. I'll think of it. And just be out here. You know, do what I do, talking to a camera. And I love just talking to myself, talk about things that I want to talk about, being within my own thoughts and ideas. And doing this platform, the internet, the technology, you know, I learned computers, I love the Charmix. And I guess I may have develop my love for electronics and computers and use the tools from that, the capability and tools from that. You see me jump something? There's wildlife here. Not wildlife, but there's birds but lizards don't make me jump. But there's birds and dogs and stuff. And the dogs out here, you very rarely see a stray dog. Very, never. Like, I saw a stray dog in San Bernardino a couple years back. It was so strange. It was scary. It was so strange. It was, like, scary. Like some kind of crazy science fiction movie. But anyway, so I used the tools and stuff from my passions, my career, my hobby. First of all, my passions became a hobby. The hobby became a career. And so now I take all that and I take the tools from my career and hobby and use it for my passions. It kind of like all building together. And I was also thinking that my studio and my recordings that we do at Jeffrey TV, at the studio I built it. I developed that. You know, I mean, it wasn't like I completely came up with the idea of how it's supposed to be done. You know, I could have Googled it. You know, it's, I need to stop and check this. I can't help it. I got to stop and check. All right. I got to stop and check to make sure this thing is still is recording audio. I got to. Okay, I stopped and checked it. It was recording audio. But the funny thing is, it sounded like it was recording it too loud. Imagine, it's always something. It's not like it was overmodulated and recording it too loud. like I'm talking too loud or something. So we got to see how that comes out. You know, hopefully I can put it in my, you know, Cubase and clean it up if necessary. Like I did with the other ones with the hum. I was able to put in a Cubase, put a gate on it, and hide all the hum. You know, the gate had just turned on when I stopped talking and make it silent. So you couldn't hear the hum unless it was when I was talking and my voice was over. So, but anyway, I was thinking, the way I record at Jeffrey TV in my living room, I kind of developed that style. I kind of figured that out, how to do that. I mean, it's basic. You just have instruments coming through your interface on tracks, you know. And you just put everything on a separate track. You put everything on a separate track. And then you can be able to mix them. That is just kind of the basics. To me, that just is the fundamental. Now, maybe everybody knows that. Maybe everybody doesn't. But, you know, that's how I just started from the rudimentary. I started from Cool Edit Pro. From the rudimentary, getting interfaces into the computer. I mean, I remember me, Phil, Lodge Curry, we was when the stuff first came out, and I told Lodge, I just said, man, you can make your own, I ain't gonna ever get this, like, you can make your own record at home. He was like, no, you can't. Mr. Gary was like, no. I was like, I remember in the car, we was going to Walmart to get his computer. I remember. He was riding to Walmart so he could pick up his computer. And he got, because, you know, I'm the computer guy. You know, everybody's like, oh, he's the computer guy. Get Jeffrey. So I'm the computer guy. Went got him his computer. Got it home, set it up. And I was saying, yeah, man, you can record using Cool Edit. He was like, yeah. I said, you got to get an interface, because I already had an interface. So I had an interface, and I was able to do a little bit of stuff, like a two-channel interface, basic stuff, very basic. But I was learning how to get audio into the computer. And he figured out, or him and Phil figured out after that, how to, they were able to plug the guitars right into the computer without an interface and record. And I think he recorded that Funkadelic-ish album off of that. And that was a record. I was like, he was sending me samples of it. I was like, man, you need to release this. I was like, good, because he would take two Funkadelic songs, you know, and play them together or play on top of them or play parts or, you know, whatever, bits of it, you know, and mix it. I was like, man. So he put that record together. I had it mastered. I went to my boy Rick, took it up to him. He mastered it. And we put it out, Funkadelic-ish. I did the artwork, you know. So that's part of my legacy that I'm very, very proud of. So I remember, and then as we learned and developed that, I was thinking my style of recording is where, you know, it's different. In fact, I got into arguments with people in the studio over my style versus the way, quote unquote, it should be done. And I remember the argument, it got to the point where it got kind of heated, but I'm like, I'm sitting in my own house. I can do anything I want. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. We're in Jeffrey's house. Jeffrey can do anything he wants, you know, and I had to defend it. And I haven't had to defend it before. So in defending my recording style and the way I do it, I had to learn it. I actually had to defend it and explore the reasoning behind it. It was like re-summarizing it from a different perspective, you know, just learning it like over again. And like realizing, you know, what it is or how special it may or may not be or how different it may or may not be. Because there's no doubt, you know, there's industry way of recording. You know, there's just no doubt. It's just, and it's always been, I've always known that, and I never wanted to adhere to that. That's one of the main reasons why I wanted to get my own and do it my own way. Because I never really, you know, because the way they do it, they record the same stuff over and over and over and over and over. Gosh, no, you don't have to do it that way anymore. I can fix it. You just need to record it like 4, 5, 6 times. I can fix it. I can move notes, stretch notes, move things around, cut, paste, all that. You know, I can change the tone, tenor, quantize, whatever, to make it even sound real. I can put the imperfections in there. So it's like, you know, we don't have to record everything over and over and over and have to have every part recorded the same way. The engineer can come in there and just fix all that. So, because they was like, you know, the old school, let's play it again, let's do it again, take it from the top. Do it again, take it from the top. Can we get it right? Do it again, take it from the top. And that whole take it from the top, that was one of the first things I realized. I'm like, there is no top, just keep playing. Now, granted that it does make a mess. You do make a mess. When it comes to passing your files on to somebody, forget it. You do make a mess. And it's hard to decipher, take apart, and put back together. Sometimes. Maybe I need to implement a marking system, but it's too late. Because I got like sometimes hours of stuff that, you know, you got to go in and find the good parts, and that could take some time. Or, you know, the structure, the idea that you had may have got lost in jamming. Because I do believe in just jamming. I do believe in just, you know, turn it on, just go. Just play whatever you want to play. Everybody's on a separate track. You can't make a mistake. And if you do, I can take it off. You know, I have drums. I have a track, drum tracks. Not even drum tracks. Drum plug-in synthesizers or whatever. Drum. If I create my own patterns, drums are not a problem. I can just create whatever. Not like back in the old days where you had a wave file, a clip of drums, and static. You know, however fancy or however complicated it was just the same thing over and over. With the software now, it could change, it could move. You know, I could program it to do what it needs to do, and we could do parts. Whereas in my thing, it's all right, let it change. Just keep playing it over and over. I'll fix it. You know, you don't got to worry about it. You ain't going to hear a good song. You know, the musician ain't going to hear a song. He just going to hear him playing a part. And I'm hearing everybody else and how it can come together later. Because one time I went in the studio with Christopher Choi, Barry Chenault, and I forget the other dude who came. His name was Ringo. I forget what his name was. He came. Anthony Sanders was there. Mark Leake showed up a little bit. And I was like, just jam. You know, I let Barry Chenault take the lead. And they just wanted to play the same thing over and over. That's not it. That's quite different. Okay. And there's probably something to that. There's probably definitely something to do that. That's the way it's been done for years. But it could have been just done that way because of, you know, the way the recording was back there. One take. There was no, you know, redoing stuff. That's why I was watching this thing about the Beatles or the Phil Spector and them, whenever they had Wall of Rock or Wall of Sound or whatever they had down there, that where the Beatles recorded a record where they used tracks. And the whole thing was, one of the big things was, you wouldn't be able to reproduce this live because you got, you know, Ringo or one of the musicians playing two different instruments at the same time. With tracks, you can do that. You can have Ringo play drums or whatever, whoever play the drums and play two different guitars. You have McCartney play, you know, three different guitars at the same time. That was unheard of. A lot of people fought against that. They wasn't ready for that kind of stuff, you know. That was revolutionary. And then the idea that, you know, hey, you can't reproduce this live now because he can't play those three instruments live. So that changed recording and the whole idea of recording. And one thing I've learned or noticed or experienced is that when people get locked in their ways, they get locked in their ways. Tradition matters. Tradition is ridiculously important to some people. They don't want to break tradition and understand it. It's beyond routine. It's like tradition. And speaking of tradition, the Steelers, They're talking about the Steelers' tradition, the Steelers' way. Has Ben Roethlisberger, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback, blah, 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 very well-respected Steeler player, said the tradition is gone. And I'm like, yes, good, because that tradition is not going to win today. Then I watched somebody last night saying, yeah, the tradition is gone. You know, Tomlin's a good coach. You know, with Tomlin, you're going to get toughness and not too much ingenuity. And he was saying, maybe that don't win today. You know, NFL cultures change. And sometimes coaches don't. He's still a good coach, but he may not be able to coach in this culture. So traditions matter. And the way I record, I just enjoy it. You know, I'm doing what feels good to me. And then I get a product out of it. And then I'll adapt what I need to do to get a product out of the product I got while enjoying it. I ain't trying to put in no work. I'm trying to make everything fun and enjoyable. I'm taking the easiest way. And even if the easiest way could be the hardest way, the easiest way could be the hardest way, but it may be the most enjoyable way. I was thinking about that. I was thinking, because I was, with all my extra energy, I'm just doing stuff. I put some clothes to Goodwill. I'm just like cleaning up stuff, testing out stuff. Just, you know, with this energy, just playing with toys that I've been wanting to play with for a long time. Evaluate, you know, just go over it. And I'm trying to think of that word that I thought of yesterday. You know, be able to do that with all my stuff. And just had the energy. So I was going through I cleaned out my electronic box, put stuff away, went in my closet. Did some stuff, just, you know, having that extra energy that it feels good. It feels good. Feeling good feels good. So I was cleaning up like my what I call just in time from way back in learning, taking manufacturing classes when manufacturing used to give out, you know, lessons on manufacturing prices before ISO 9000. Now we got ITIL and all that stuff that kind of lays the baseline of what an organization should do in building and manufacturing or technology and the strategies involved. And you had a just-in-time area, and it hit me. I like the idea that you don't have stuff in your just-in-time area, and it stuck with me. It's been 25, 30 years. You don't have stuff in your just-in-time area that you don't use every day. The only thing that you should be in your just-in-time area is stuff that you touch every day. If you don't touch it every day, it shouldn't be there. Like the kitchen counters, when I go to my mother's house, they just got stuff out. I think women just like clutter. I'll say it. I think women just like clutter. And clutter is probably not the most appreciative word or endearing word for it, but they just do. And I can understand why, being nurturers. And, you know, for what women do. In fact, for what women do, they can do anything they want. But for what women, what mother has to go through, and what mother gives to all of us, mother can call any goddamn thing they want. They can just say whatever, and we should do it. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do it without whining about it or complaining or without pushback. But, you know, we should do it. And then mother has got to the point where they are so strong now. They will. It's just the instinct in them for their baby. He'd be like, okay. You know, they'll let you slide with this. You know, you see them. You know, let you get away with that. Like my ex-wife, granddaughter's grandmother, just really protective. Hold her hand. Don't let her go here. Take this up. You see this knob on the. You know, the little thing that just keeps the door from hitting the wall. If you hit it, it goes, bah, 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 bah. She's like, you got to watch out because she could take this top off and eat it and put it in her mouth and choke. And I said, we're going to clown you, but don't stop doing what you're doing. I said, we definitely going to clown you. And I'm like, I know you can't. Like, I know you can't stop being Terry. I know this. You can forget that. You ain't going to stop this. Because this is something she's been wanting for years, 30, 40 years. Ever since she had a baby, she probably wanted her baby to have a baby. So this is what she's been wanting for years, and she's been consistent. You know, whether I agree with it, with her attitudes or demeanors or her insights or her philosophies or her projections or her intentions or her mannerism, her methodology, even if I agree with her different, and I definitely disagree with it a lot, she was consistent. You knew Terry. You knew how Terry was going to be. So either live with it or don't. You know, and you know, over the years, she said, you know, she couldn't change. I was like, don't change. You know, because she'd be like, granddaughter, feet go on the floor. And what she really get is that ABC's doing the ABC's with her. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, going over that, you know, repeating stuff, saying stuff, talking to her all day. She's really good at that. And maybe, and I think at her, when we had our kids, when we had the kids, we weren't good at it. Maybe we were too young. Maybe it has to be generational, because there were certain things I see my daughter, quote unquote, not doing that I know should be done, only because I've been through it, you know. And you know, it's like she don't get it, or whatever she does, you know. I'm not saying she. Everybody plays a role. Everybody plays a role. You know what my daughter may not do good, whatever good means, her mother does, and vice versa. You know, because if it was up to her mother, you know, the kid be so damn spoiled, wouldn't have to move. It'd just be sitting there like one of the big blobs on Star Trek or Twilight Zone. They don't have to move, all the needs are met. They just get to the point where they don't got to do anything. They can blink, and Terry, you know what she want, and have it for her and get it for her. The story I like to tell is the kids would eat, fall asleep with the plate on their lap, and Terry would pick it up and take it in the kitchen for them. And they got used to that. That became a norm for them. And so we know how she is. Like I said, don't stop. You're going to keep doing. Like when she take granddaughter out, you're always overdressed, way too many clothes. And she'd be looking like little boy from Christmas Story, and it'd be like July. No, okay. It may be like September. She'd be like way overdressed, too big hat, coat, off. But I said, don't stop. You know, we gonna clown you. We are definitely gonna clown you, and there's definitely gonna be pushback. But don't stop. I thought about it. You can't. You doing you. And then when I see granddaughter, count and songs she knows, and the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s and all that. I know that's Terry, you know, but the grandmother, daycare, you know, during the day, you know, when my daughter at work, it takes a village, so, I don't know where I came with that. Oh, was I talking tradition, or what was I talking about, people setting their ways? Anyhow, I was thinking of my studio, because in my studio, I flipped the box, and it's just a whole bunch of cords. I got a whole bunch of headphone extension cords, because the way I've developed recording was we all put on headphones because it was an apartment, and I didn't want to be loud at that time. At that time, I didn't want to be loud, and I didn't really have big speakers back then. This is even before I had big speakers. I just wanted to be loud. I didn't want nobody to know what I had in the house, and that too. So everybody was their headphones, and we would record like that. So we in there, we got music blasting in our headphones, you know, and outside the apartment, it's totally quiet. You can't hear nothing. But now, you know, I don't care. Now I just go ahead and do the, what's it called? I got my big MXX9 speakers, and I just play the music. I don't care. They just gotta live with it. But when you do it that way, your audio doesn't come out as clean. The audio, if you have a singer singing on open mic, it picks up all that background noise. So I had headphones. I even got a headphone bank that I ran it through an amplifier. I took an old stereo I got from my mother, one of them cassette, phonograph, radio things. So the cassette didn't work and the phonograph stopped working, but the amp worked. So I went ahead and I got the amp and I hooked it up and I took the speaker out and I ran that into the headphone bank to get more power. I took an audio output from the interface, ran it through that amp. You know, nothing else on it works, but the amp ran up through the auxiliary, ran it out, ran through a headphone bank. Headphone bank had like, you know, 10 outputs. You know, we could hook up 10 speakers, hook up 10 people with headphones. And I got the long cords to do it. You know, they can walk around and, you know, have space and everybody can hear and they can adjust their volumes because Tony likes his really loud. Tony likes his stupid loud. So, and then, you know, I noticed since I'm doing it so much, they turn it down. I think Lodge Courage turned me on to that. It don't got to be so loud. Turn it down, you know. And then I realized, yeah, because you're listening to music. He's listening to music for so many hours, you know, so much time. That you don't want to start it off all loud. And then you realize you don't want it loud at all. So, and I was looking at my cables like that. I was like, you know, I developed this way. This is the way I developed. Because people come over and people who know about music, who've done this probably more than I have, didn't know what to do. And I was like, it kind of struck me as funny because I would be looking to them, you know, for input and information on how to do this. And they didn't have any because they weren't used to doing it, you know, the way I was doing it. They weren't familiar with my setup. And I would explain, you know, all this is coming in like this. All this is on separate tracks. I can pull you. I can mix that. We can do that. You know, this mic here. Tell me what you need. Pick up a mic. Another input. You know, then as people start doing it, they start to get the hang of it. And like when I got into the argument with somebody who was kind of new to the process, Mello said, basically, this is how we've been doing it. This is, watch us do it. You know, this is how we've been doing it. Because we're just kind of going back and forth. And I admit, I kind of got into the whole back and forth part. It was fun to be in my own house. It was fun to be in my own house having an argument that I can't lose because we're in my house. So, you know, I kind of got off on that probably a little bit too much. And she was like, yeah, look, we've been doing it this way. Just let us get back to doing it. And I was like, she's right. And it kind of gave me a validation that, you know, because I had to reevaluate. That little argument had me, I had to reevaluate. And it was good. That's what I took out of it. I had to reevaluate my setup and my methodology and my whole thing. And I thought that was good. So, and then I was able to explain it, not even explain it, or defend it. What was I going to say? Oh, and it got kind of heated and this and that. And the emotions, you know, went this way. And them motherfuckers played some of the best music afterwards. That music, I called my boy. I was like, man, you know, I wasn't trying to piss nobody off yesterday, but blah, 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 blah. But boy, my God, did he turn up. My God, did he turn up after that. Oh, Lord. You should have heard them people play together. We knocked out like 3, quote unquote, songs, whatever you want to call them. Could we call it jams or whatever. But oh my God, you got to hear. It's some of the best. It came out the best. And I thought about, you know, Mr. Clinton and P-Funk and how emotions and dysfunctions wind up on the stage during the performance. And if you ask me, it makes it better. It may make it different or add a nuance to it or whatever you want to call it. But whatever it is, you know, whatever was going on, if the bus broke down, somebody didn't get a hotel room, or somebody got left, or somebody didn't make it, or something like that. It comes on the stage, and people got to react different and play different. And you can feel that, you know, because maybe because P-Funk is orchestrated. And I always go to the time, you know, more than the time show. It's almost exactly the same every time, because Jerome got to be in that same spot at this part of the show at every time. The same thing has to be played, you know, for the whole show, the whole choreography of the show to go. P-Funk ain't like that. I don't even think P-Funk know what they're going to play until Mr. Clinton called out that first song when they walk out. Now, granted, over time, we started to figure it out. And sometimes he settles in, you know, to certain things, be it tracks or whatever. You know, because I remember when the one I think of is I'm Gonna Make You Sick. And, you know, it was an era when, or a time period, you know, that was the opening song all the time. You know, now, shoot, last night, they start off with something. I wanna know if it's good. Something, they start off with that. And I saw some stuff last night in the show that I was like, they don't usually do that. I think I saw Mr. Scheider singing Knee Deep, and I thought I saw Mr. Scheider singing Presence of a Brain. You know, that's not usual stuff for a band that's on their, supposed to be on their farewell tour, ending it. And they got, I think, the last show scheduled for this year is going to be in Ventura. Of course, I'm going to be there. No New Year's show scheduled, at least as of yet. It wouldn't be surprising if something didn't pop up late. I work New Year's Day. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. But anyway, that's what it's about. I hope this thing is still recording. You know, we'll find out. I'm just talking. You can see I feel good. My energy is up. Walking down Ventura Boulevard. From the default location on my non-usual route. I don't know what y'all can see and not see. Probably could let you see more of the scenery. If I had the other camera, I could flip it. In fact, I might even start bringing. I don't want to carry two phones, though. That's the whole idea, efficiency. I don't want to carry two phones. But I might have to do that. I might have to carry two phones just so, because I like it's lighter, and it does, I could flip it, and you know, I like the idea. I can flip it. It's lighter. And, you know, but I don't want to carry two phones. So we'll see. So we'll work off of that. Anyhow, my name is Jeffrey. Is them black Israelites? Yes. It is, but they like light skin. Hold up. They look like them black Israelite people, but they all light skin. Because the black Israelites I know are severely racially motivated. You know, they, because he's walking out with his meat, one of them told the dame that they was a spawn of Satan because they was white. I was like, hold up, dog. I was like, hold up. How do you come to that conclusion? Just because they white. You know, and I understood kind of what he wanted to believe. No, not wanted to believe. I understood what he believed, flat out. You know, so, and the direction he was going, I just wanted to hear the logic behind it and how he got to that. So I had to challenge him. I was like, just because she white, she the devil? He was like, yep, basically. And they was all dark skinned. Those black Israelite looking cats over there was all light skinned. They looked almost Arab. We know that ain't right compared to the other one. It's going to be a racial civil war within the black Israelites. Why am I talking about Israelites? Anyhow, my name is Jeffrey. Anxious to see how this came out. Energy was good. I feel that I got a bunch, not off my chest, but, you know, I was able to say some stuff. Out here getting steps, which I need to do. I still got a half a pizza in the refrigerator. I got food. You know what I did, though? I'm going to tell you what I did. When I went to get pizza, I wanted to go to the 99 cent store because I want Cheetos. But I don't want to pay no $5.49 for them where I can go get the cheap ones at $1.03. at a Dollar Tree or something. So I went around, but I went to the Dollar Tree. I thought I was going to Dollar Tree. I ended up going to some other kind of dollar store that I knew was there, but I thought was the other one. It's like I knew the store, a dollar store was there. I knew that, but it wasn't the one that I thought was there. So I went to that one, and they didn't have nothing. They didn't have nothing. Nothing that I wanted. Let's put it this way. It had nothing that I wanted. So, and I could have went to the other one, but I wanted to get my pizza, you know, ordered online, blah, 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 blah. I could have took the extra minutes, but that's what I said for today. It ain't like you ain't going to be eating like an idiot tomorrow. But I think I'm going to get home just in time to maybe take a shower and get ready for the Steeler game. And we'll go from there. So anyway, swinging on y'all. Swinging on y'all. Little Caesars. That doggone deep, deep dish, stuffed crust, black olives, mushroom sausage pizza. That's what I'm talking about. Anyhow, swinging on y'all. Two times. For me and for the funk. For me, for the funk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. A totality of it all. The theory of universe. A hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey. I said